It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 25th day of May, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza, the merry, wacky, zany one that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And if you're there, if you pop by right now about, well, you'll be greeted by early arrivers, Stockton Larry, Squeaky, Roger in Oregon, New Jersey Nick, and Anatole, and incapably moderated by, well, me, hopefully, Brother Bishop Steve, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, will be by presently to manage the fray. Hi, I'm Robin. And, yeah, it would ordinarily be prayer meeting Wednesday, and we got some prayer meeting Wednesday stuff. It's just entirely a matter of whether we can get to the prayer meeting Wednesday stuff that we have, or if we wind up dealing with, well, you know, what we got to deal with. That having been said, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so thanks go out to our 25th day of the month subscribers on PayPal. Thank you to Peter, and thank you to Mark, and thank you to Mark. It's the Mark and Mark and Peter, the 25th of the month situation. Thank you. And, well, thank you for being partial sponsors of the program, and where were we? We got down to, what was it, 1790, so we're at 2090 today, and we've got some good news, $2,090 to get us current. The odds of us finishing in proper form for the month of May are, well, long odds against, but I do have some good news because I had a note earlier. A $200 What Have We Become challenge is on the table, courtesy of our dear, dear Rico in the quiescent but solemn burg. Hey, Robin, my queen, I'm putting up a $200 What the Fuck Have We Become challenge, and if it's met, I'll throw in another $100. I'm exhausted from working and from all of the carnage. Not much else to say. I hope you and all the Horn community will stay safe. I love you all. Oh, we love you, Rico. We do. And you stay safe, too. You know, all those years of listening to Malloy and hearing him say, watch your back. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding. Thank you for that challenge. So, there's a chance to turn $200 in contributions into $500 and get us down to only 5 unfunded days of the program to this point. You know, we finished more than $1,000 behind the eight ball in April, We are in deep right now. Thank you, Rico. It would be tremendous if we could take some of that pressure off and I can pay some bills and stop sweating quite so hard. And believe me, it's sweating. It's not perspiration. Had a note earlier from our dear pal Reverbo, the human boy. The Onion has been all over this for years. No way to prevent this, says Only Nation, where this regularly happens. The Onion homepage right now has, Reverbo says, they must have around 30 stories from the archives about mass shootings. This history will not judge us kindly. I mean, and maybe there are aspects of this that point to a decline and fall kind of, well, no, not a decline and fall situation, but if you look at, oh no, there she goes. She's going to talk about ancient Rome again. Yes, she is. In the waning days of the Republic, from Gaius Marius down to the aftermath of the assassination of Julius Caesar, it was one bloody mishap after another, including but not limited to the proscriptions of Sulla, the proscriptions of Marius, the proscriptions of the Second Triumvirate, but generally unrestrained violence. But then again, they didn't really have a police force now, did they? No, they didn't. What's our excuse? Oh, speaking of police, and I'm going to get into a little bit of everything along the way, but speaking of police, we had butthurt police in San Francisco in yesterday's program, and now they're the cop union in Cincinnati is all butthurt because the Cincinnati Art Museum has a painting by an artist by the name of Magnus Giuliano. Well, Winnie the Pooh is shown face down in a pool of blood, and Piglet, with a cop hat on and a semi-automatic handgun in hand, a police Batman utility belt around his waist, is shown with a gun pointed at Winnie the Pooh, and handcuffs on Winnie and Winnie the Pooh's paws are handcuffed behind his back. And the Dan Hills, the president of the Cincinnati Cop Union, says, "This is meant to divide citizens and their police, which isn't good for the citizens. Without us, crimes run rampant. Killing becomes even more commonplace." Even more, Dan Hills, even more. You know, there were cops all over the place yesterday in Uvalde, Texas. There were cops there when young Salvador Ramos showed up with his tactical gear and his semi-automatic weapons, which he had purchased legally, like the day after his birthday. There are cops there. They couldn't stop him. So, Dan Hills, take your more commonplace and stick them up your cop union ass, okay? The name of the painting, Dan Hills, the president of the Cincinnati Cop Union, said that he got a call from the wife of another officer because she saw the painting, which is called Motherland Theme Park Black Panther Gift Shop, when she took her kid to the museum. She saw something that was completely hateful, completely ugly, and it was so ugly because it was so personal. She understood it as saying that her husband was a murderer. You know, I think you take tiny little steps at a time. When you hear something like this, you should act on it. You shouldn't sit there and just accept that people are out there putting absolute disgusting lies about police officers and having to accept it as order, accept it as something as beauty. Sugar. understand art is not always beautiful. Art that's really good art challenges you. It challenges preconceived notions. It challenges assumptions. It challenges where we are in, or where any society is in a given moment in time. And you know what? Cops do shoot people in the back with handcuffs on. Maybe instead of you getting all butthurt, maybe there needs to be a discussion about why artists create art like this. This isn't some sort of fantasy. This is art imitating life. And no, it does not promote violence against officers. The exhibit that the painting appears in is called Black and Brown Faces Paying Homage To. One visitor to the museum said, "It's art. Art's supposed to make people feel things, even if it pisses you off. It's art. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel something and evoke a reaction." So, Magnus Giuliano has done good art. And Dan Hills, president of the cop union, needs to fuck right off. Okay? Good. You know, we just use the language here that most people use in their everyday lives, right? But that's, I'm getting ahead of things. Ron in Raleigh has an observation, not a progressive. "I've stated many times that I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi. Here's my latest reason. In the Texas primary held yesterday, Ms. Pelosi went to the mat to back Henry Cuellar, the last pro-life, pro-gun corporate Democrat in the House who's under FBI investigation against progressive Cisneros." Jessica Cisneros. And links to a story on the at the Hill. And I've seen a couple of people raise this issue. And I would much prefer Jessica Cisneros to Henry Cuellar. Henry Cuellar is a dino in the purest sense of the word. He's a lot like Joe Manchin that way, if you get right down to it. But I think it's unfair to go after Nancy Pelosi over this, because she is the Speaker of the House, and she is obliged, as Speaker of the House, to support her caucus, of which, like it or not, Henry Cuellar is a member. Because if she starts putting shivs betwixt the ribs of her own membership, that's a great way for the majority to fall apart, if it hasn't already. So I get your frustration. I would, like I said, Jessica Cisneros is the better candidate. But would you want, you know, and this is the question, would you want Nancy Pelosi to go out and campaign against, you know, because, oh, AOC has said some things about Nancy Pelosi. It is a caucus that is made up of diverse voices. Do you want her not to support AOC? AOC is a member of her caucus. How about Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley? No? So it's kind of a unified thing, but I understand how frustrating it is, because Henry Cuellar is gross. And I'm sure we'll be spending more time with Texas later in the program. By the way, Matt in San Francisco says, press conference workout tips. "I have found a new motivation to get through my hour on the treadmill. Simply watch a Texas press conference after a mass shooting in a school. My blood pressure was up and my anger pushed me through with ease to the 4-mile mark. I also think Fox has a troll who's infiltrated their Chiron section. The Chiron running below the governor, Greg Asbot, as he spoke, said, gunman had no history of mental illness. Then the Chiron switched to, governor says we must focus on mental health. That pretty much summed it up. Then the Beto thing happened, and I thought, the only person in that room speaking truth was removed by the authorities. Of course. The world is a madhouse, and in America, we have a front row seat. Yes, we do, Matt. Yes, we do. And wasn't Beto just magnificent today? Walked into Governor Greg Asbot's press conference in Uvalde. By the way, he had to get back to Uvalde because shortly after the shooting yesterday, he hied himself hence 300 miles to attend what? A fundraiser. Yeah. Shades of George W. Bush going to a birthday party while Katrina drowned and then playing a guitar upside down. They all look alike to me. They do. Thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you, Charlene. And thank you to Ralphs. And thank you to Terry. That's wonderful. And, wow, Matt in San Francisco, thank you. By the way, I meet that $200 challenge. Come on, community. We can't expect Robin to keep working for free. Thank you, Matt. So the challenge, is the what have we become challenge has been met within the first quarter hour of the program. And so let's see, we are now down to, we've gone from 2090, we're now down to 1590, I think we're down to somewhere like $1,465. And that is a huge jump downward. Thank you all so much. And let's see, 1465. We're down to 1415. Thank you, Don in BC. Thank you. Thank you so very much. So 1415, it would be fantastic to, well, pay a ton of bills. And maybe actually have a fighting chance of ending May to the good. As to Henry Cuellar, Steve in New York says, it's one thing to support him, it's another thing to record robocalls for him. I guess. Then again, there's the question of who's the Republican nominee going to be and who's got a chance at... Because the guy's won time after time after time after time. He is under FBI investigation. There's no getting around that. Let's see here. Via Joey. Up to date and current. K-E-R-R-R-E-N-T. I think I know where this is going. Jeffrey leads off.
Many years ago, a famous announcer by the name of Russ Hodges made one of the most famous baseball calls of all time when he shouted five times, "The Giants win the pennant, the Giants win the pennant," following a Bobby Thompson three-run homer that helped beat the rival Brooklyn Dodgers in a one-game playoff that gave the Giants a berth into the World Series against the Yankees in 1951. The 41-year-old Hodges, after five times shouting, "The Giants win the pennant," finished with, "Oh, doctor!" Junior interrupting.
Just a warning, if you're sensitive to tirades and radical rants by Joey, you may want to turn away from this one.
Joey went to the doctor's office and he yelled, "Oh, doctor."
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I did go to the doctor that day, Joey says, and I arrived 5 minutes late for no particular reason, and the doctor told me that I was late. Really, I told the doctor, it takes a lot of nerve for a doctor to tell people they're late. First of all, I did arrive 5 minutes late, but still sat in the waiting room for 5 minutes, waiting to be called back to the checkup room. Then, doctor, I waited for 10 minutes in the checkup room, so I think you're actually 10 minutes late. I actually like this doctor, Joey says, even though he votes Republican, but today he really pissed me off. I just told the good doctor I'm basically here for two things. I want to get my one prescription for prednisone renewed for my occasional swelling, and I want you, doctor, to consider seriously voting for Tim Ryan in the fall. I continued, I don't need my blood pressure checked. I know what the hell it is because my chiropractor checks it every week. The doctor then proceeded to insult my chiropractor by saying they're not doctors. I don't know that that's an insult. That's me editorializing. They're not doctors. They're chiropractors. Pipe fitters are not electricians. I then told him, yeah, what the hell? Chiropractors don't know anything. Well, doc, maybe chiropractors aren't doctors, but at least they won't try to shove a beta blocker down my throat and stick their finger up my ass. But let's not shame prostate checks, okay? Pretty please? Prostate cancer is a horrible way to die. And a great way to not do that is to get the occasional finger wave, guys. I mean, as a trans woman, I still have to deal with that. Although the chance of me having any kind of prostate problem is reduced dramatically by virtue of the delightful cocktail of hormones that I'm on. But nonetheless, I proceeded to tell the doctor that the best bet for my mildly high blood pressure is to change my diet and not get on some beta blocker that has so many side effects that this time next year I'll need three or four other drugs to mitigate the damage that the beta blocker causes. I run 4 10-minute miles 3 times a week without any trouble. I think my heart's okay, but my diet's not good.
Joey really has a killer diet.
Joey eats no red meat. He loves chicken and fish, but he just can't stop drinking soda, and he's addicted to Zingers, according to his wife.
Well, I read the journal every day. I know he's addicted to Zingers. I then told the good doctor, no, seriously, doc, I don't need my heart and I don't need my ass checked, and if you want to help my blood pressure, then stop voting for people who want to sunset Medicare and Social Security. Doc, you're 64 years old and you probably have $3,000 or $4,000 coming to you monthly in Social Security. How much is health insurance going to cost you if Medicare goes away? So, doc, if you want to do something seriously to mitigate my health issues, then please vote for Tim Ryan this fall. Oh, look, there she is, precious little Joey Two the kangaroo.
In Australia, we have a program called UPHIP, Universal Public Health Insurance Program, which is basically Medicare for all.
Well, on the lighter side of things, after teasing Robin about his Reds having a terrible year, the Reds just came to Cleveland the past 2 days and swept the Cleveland baseball team, the Guardians, in 2 games. Hell, Robin, maybe it won't be light years until the Reds return to big red machine form. Well, devoutly to be wished, but Vegas don't bet that way. I lost Richard 1 year ago today, says Joey. And needless to say, this has crushed me emotionally and financially. I also lost my dad last year, as many of you know by now. That being said, Monday's Journal will feature a story that involves Richard as well as my father and a man that pitched a perfect game. Stay tuned. Scotty in San Diego was speaking of disgruntled people going around and shouting and shooting people in Laguna Hills on Tuesday night, and the Journal featured some words about Robin's wonderful run for office. Now here's a story about both. On this day in 1927, in what is considered to be America's deadliest school attack, part of a schoolhouse in Bath Township, Michigan, was blown up with explosives planted by a local farmer by the name of Andrew Kehoe. Kehoe set off a bomb in his truck, a la Timothy McVeigh. The attacks killed 38 children and 6 adults, including Kehoe, who'd earlier killed his wife. Authorities said Kehoe, who suffered financial difficulties, was seeking revenge for, of all things, the fact that he lost the township clerk election. Jeffrey, with an election result.
Well, Robin, again, congratulations on your run for the 51 and the classy manner in which you've handled the results.
And Junior with the finish.
Well, Doctor, I think that loser in Michigan may have needed a good antidepressant. Glad this guy didn't run for president. He might have nuked the whole world.
And finally, speaking of Michigan, it was on this day in 2020 that Trump threatened to cut off federal funding to both Michigan and Nevada because both states were making it easier by expanding mail-in voting. This week, Trump has instructed Mehmet Oz to just declare victory and again ignore all the mail-in voting results. Sorry, Trump, this is America, not Russia, and we still count all the votes, but if the Republicans vote in this Republican vote this Republican idiot in for Governor Mastriano, maybe Trump will have his wishes because all the votes likely won't be counted in 2024. So that was actually Joey's Journal for this past Friday when I wasn't here. Giraffe, however, was in Pennsylvania congratulating Summer Lee, who was outspent 10-1 by corporate Democrats but still managed to maintain her seat in the 12th District of PA. And so now, the 25th day of May, this particular Wednesday, and what do you know, we had another shooting down in Uvalde, Texas. Gee, nobody saw that coming when we live in a country with more guns than people and assault rifles everywhere.
I would like to once again thank Steve Kerr as he spoke out last night, as he has in the past, against the 50 assholes in the Senate.
That's a fact.
A.K.A. the Republicans who refused to do anything to halt the gun violence in this country. Ironically, the latest shooting took place not too far from Kerrville, Texas. Steve Kerr's father was shot to death in Beirut in 1984 while working in Lebanon. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Oh, no. There's Junior. Oh, wait. Joey 2 the Kangaroo.
As I said before, we don't have mass shootings in Australia because... Oh, never mind. What's the use of telling the great gun-ridden story again to America? Nobody in the States is listening.
Thank you, Joey 2.
Oh, but there's Junior.
Well, I'm sure our governor will step up and do something.
Yeah, poor little Junior, so naive.
No, Junior, in response to yesterday's shooting, Governor Gun Nut DeWine has decided to continue with the Ohio Senate Bill 215, which as of June 13th will allow people to carry guns without a permit and without training. I think Governor DeWine should change his name to Governor Demented.
Good point. And just an update, the Lake Catholic lacrosse coach has resigned. You may remember Robin reading the story about one of the players having a swastika on the back of his leg. Apparently this was part of a stunt, and the player was not aware of the swastika being secretly affixed to the back of his calf. What? Oh no, here's Junior.
It's hard to believe that the player was Nazi aware of the swastika on his leg.
Well, I think maybe Junior should send, we should send Junior to wait for it. Maybe we should send Junior to Third Rikers Island after that one. Oh, dear God. That's a gunner.
So this is Joey's Journal for the 25th day of May, Wednesday, with Giraffery saluting a man named Oz. No, not Dr. Oz with his apparent PA win, but rather Frank Oz, who did so much work with Jim Henson on The Muppet Show and Sesame Street. Frank Oz voiced iconic characters like Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, Grover, Bert, and the Cookie Monster, but his most famous role was, of course,
Yoda
in Star Wars. And so, adding to the challenges, there's a $50 current challenge on the table. And thank you for that, Joey and Giraffe. So the next $50 in will get doubled. And we will work our way down past 14-15. That would get us down to 13-15 to go in fundraising. And that would be fan-damn-tastic. So there's still some doubling money out there. And with the mention of Steve Kerr and what he said... It's worth running his actual remarks because there's something about the fact that only comedians and athletics coaches can speak truth to power. And it really, really does say something, doesn't it? Almost that we can't have serious conversations about serious issues, and unless you're Chris Murphy of Connecticut, he is apparently fresh out of fucks to give, and we'll get to his remarks in a minute too. But this was Steve Kerr, and you know the immediate inclination is to say, why isn't this man running for Senate somewhere? You know, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, and just wow.
I'm not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left Shoot Around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here.
19 now.
And a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children?
Yes.
And our elderly and our
yes.
churchgoers?
Yes.
Because that's what it looks like.
Because that's what it is.
It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, or brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
God damn right. Good on you, Steve Kerr. And, you know, he talks about those moments of silence, but the fact of the matter is there are moments of silence and moments of silence. Some moments of silence are born of a deep-seated need to just take a moment and focus on the focus energies on grief and sadness, and for religious people, prayers to an unhearing God. But there's another kind of silence, and that is the silence that has taken place in the Senate of the United States, where 50 Republican senators, plus Joe Manchin, plus Kyrsten Sinema, have been as silent as the tombs into which those children will be descended. And there's a certain irony in that he's sitting there talking to a bunch of sports reporters. There was a time in this country when some of the greatest journalists in this country were actually sports reporters, because they'd started out working the police desk or the morgue or covering city council meetings and county commission meetings and the like. And they honed their craft and eventually got to write sports. I think about, I mentioned last night, a man who was photographed in an iconic photo of the Grand Dragon of the Klan smoking a cigarette, and Bob Cohn is in the background. Well, he was the nephew of a great, 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 fantastic New York City area sports reporter. I mean, great, Hall of Fame great, a guy by the name of Barney Kremenko. And since Joey mentioned the Giants win, the Giants win, the Giants win, it was said that Barney Kremenko was the reporter who actually gave Willie Mays his nickname, the Say Hey Kid. Just a little bit. But that's then, this is now. And, you know, that was a room full of reporters going, did anybody get a triple-double? How the hell am I going to write a story about the game, them doing this? I need some damn pull quotes. Yeah. And Ron in Raleigh says Nancy has shivved the squad. Has she campaigned against AOC? Since AOC's been a member of caucus? Has she campaigned against Ilhan Omar? Has she campaigned against Rashida Tlaib? Has she campaigned against Ayanna Pressley? Don't think so. Ron says, do you mean that Chuck Schumer should back Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema against a progressive if they win? Or against a progressive? I mean, I expect that, yeah, Chuck Schumer probably would back Kyrsten Sinema, and I know, and yes, Joe Manchin. Because he won't stay leader of his caucus for very long if he goes around making daggers sprout out of the backs of his own membership, the people who voted for him for leader. It's kind of how it works. I mean, Flavio, of course, if progressives had to depend on Nancy Pelosi, LOL. Yeah, I know. Steve in New York says, I suddenly became a Golden State fan. He's using his position to take a moral stand. He is, and it's the right thing to do. Steve also asking, hormone cocktails? Do you get one of those umbrellas in the cocktail? I know, that's serious, Gunner, but I needed just any laugh. Oh, honey, there's an umbrella, there's a sword. The sword's through a wedge of orange and a little piece of pineapple. You don't want to know where the pineapple's been. I throw the pineapple away. But, yeah, Matt in San Francisco points out Steve's dad was shot dead by terrorists. Mm-hmm. Context. January 18th, 1984, Malcolm Kerr, Steve's father and university professor of Arab history, was killed by gunmen while he was rector of the American University of Beirut. So when Steve Kerr talks about gun violence, he knows of which he speaks. And in defense, Matt says, may I step in to defend Nancy? Look, I have some issues with Pelosi sometimes, but one thing I try to keep in mind is she has to deal with the card she's dealt. It's easy for me to say what the right and pure thing to do is, but I'm not in her stilettos. I'm sure from her perspective, if she supports the shitty incumbent and he wins, she still has a unified caucus. If he loses and the better candidate wins, then Nancy will support that candidate. So either way the race goes, Nancy has to keep her caucus together. The risky position would be for Nancy to support the challenger and have the incumbent win. If that happens, what does that look like? It looks like a fractured caucus with the incumbent still in Congress with an axe to grind. So to me, I chalk it up to politics ain't beanbag. Sometimes your choices are not between good and bad, but choosing the best option between tough choices. None of us are all good or all bad. We just do the best we can with what we're dealt. Lord, that is such a grown-up position, Matt. I mean, she's Speaker of the House because she's very, very good at politics. She makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. But her mistakes could cost. And if you pay attention to the multimillionaire for-profit media, the majority in November. But God, it's not like the Republicans aren't trying to help us. We've got two issues to organize around for all we're worth. If we, not Nancy Pelosi or anybody else, if we have the guts to get behind it, we've got a full-on assault on women in this country and the rights of women in this country. On the rights of people who can get pregnant in this country. Reproductive rights in this country. We have a full-on assault that if they get away with that, then the next thing they're coming for is every other right that is not specifically enumerated in the Constitution, and that's everything but newspapers, churches, and goddamn guns. And then we got guns. Oh, Lord, yes, we've got guns. It's worth pointing out that it didn't take long at all before the demon dentist of the desert, Paul Gosar, whose own family campaigns against him every 2 years, said,
The kid who shot up that school was one of yours. We all know he was a transsexual leftist illegal immigrant.
And, you know, he eventually pulled that down, but what didn't happen is you can't unring a bell, and so God knows how many people saw that and believed it. Well, he wasn't a transsexual. He was born in North Dakota, and he wasn't a leftist. What it turns out he was, yes, troubled. Not that Texas is going to do a goddamn thing about mental health, but people with behavioral health issues don't commit murders at any greater rates than anybody else does. He was allowed to buy a pair of AR-15s on the day after his birthday, and everybody said, oh, look, he passed the background check, okay. He paid the money, he got the gun. 15 minutes before he started shooting, he posted on Facebook that he was going to do it. Prior to that, he had messaged somebody on Instagram, a complete and total stranger, saying, I'm going to show you something. So I guess he was creepering on the girl. She didn't even know it. She didn't know him. She didn't know what the hell was going on. His life was in chaos. I am not defending him. He is a monster. His mama is apparently a drug addict of some sort. Not gooning on drug addicts either. But addiction has a way of throwing families into chaos, and it threw his into chaos. And, of course, the Republicans will not do anything about drug addiction issues either, because that goes to mental health and behavioral health, and they're not interested in that. Sometime around eighth grade or so, he started cutting himself. But he didn't have enough family to really deal with that. The boy spoke with a lisp, not mocking, but in a comp-het society, compulsory heterosexuality, anything that deviates from the perceived gender norm is fodder for attack, mockery, whatever. And so years ago, the kid starts dressing in all black, and that's not a red flag. This is beginning to feel a lot more like a let it happen than a it just happened. This is not the gun just went off again and again and again and again. We've talked about hunger. We've talked about homelessness. We've talked about people being uninsured. And we have said time and time and time again, these are not accidents. These are not the workings of laws of nature. These are choices. We choose to have hunger in this country. We choose to have unhoused people in this country. And we also choose to have tortured adolescents who can't wait for their 18th birthday so that they can go and buy a goddamned semi-automatic rifle and shoot up a fucking school. And destroy the universe for 19 sweet children and a couple of teachers. We choose that. In particular, the 50 Republicans plus Joe Manchin plus Kyrsten Sinema choose that. And they do not deserve to be allowed to get away with it, as it were.
Flavio pointing out, Ramos was bullied in high school and dropped out. He also had a pronounced lisp and a stutter. How many Republican blatherheads, how many Republican politicians, how many Republicans generally have mocked Joe Biden for the fact that he has a stutter? Yeah. But then again, there's Representative Randy Fine in Florida, who tweeted earlier today, perhaps with the blood of Uvalde still wet, "I have news for the embarrassment that claims to be our president. Try to take our guns and you'll learn why the Second Amendment was written in the first place." Really? He'll learn why the Second Amendment empowered militias to go out and murder indigenous people? Randy, you dumbass, do you think that the name Biden is, I don't know, Iroquois? Oh, he needs a visit from the humorless people of the Secret Service, but don't worry, nothing will happen. Ron, still talking about Nancy Pelosi. Oops, he says, Nancy Pelosi's renewed attacks on AOC aren't just disrespectful, they're dangerous. Yeah, that's not the same as actively campaigning against somebody. She doesn't campaign against her. She isn't campaigning against her. Sorry. Let's see here. Thank you, and thank you again to Rico, and thank you again to Matt in San Francisco, and thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island and Ralphs, Don in BC. Thanks to everybody who has jumped in on these challenges this evening. Jude over at Women's Standing got us started on the current challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey 2. $40 to go on that. Thank you, Jude. Jude noting, Joey's journal is always such an in-depth sharing. The flow challenges one to listen carefully so as not to miss even one subtle nuance. Thank you, Joey, for your creative gift. Thank you, Jude. Thank you for lifting Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey 2 up like that. But that's the thing, Robin, says Lady B. We Democrats can't speak bad about Democrats. We can't threaten to withdraw our support because it's all we got, and I'm sorry, but that's fucking unacceptable. Many of us feel like we have no options. Could we get out the vote and support our preferred candidates by campaigning for them? Yes, and a lot of us have, but the other side has the advantage. They have the money pouring in from the racists who made a fortune off the backs of the rest of us. Meanwhile, liberals like you have to plead for money just to be one of the handful of progressive voices left on the air. I'm tired of settling for dinos. Amen. And let me just go back and editorialize a second on that second paragraph of Lady B's. The other side has the advantage. They have money pouring in, etc. Yes. And that's the other thing. They have people who will show up rain or shine, hell or high water, over one issue. You know, fetuses. Or one issue, guns. And you can lie to them, and they will eat it up with spoons in both hands. They don't care if it's a lie. It's bias confirmation, and that is the air that they breathe. Would that we were so motivated. I mean, we could take a lesson. I'm tired of settling for dinos, Lady B says. I'm tired of fucking almost heaven West Virginia holding the rest of us hostage. A lot of us have no idea why people who rank among the lowest in education, healthcare, and other issues have such a fucking incredibly outsized voice in how this democracy works. Yes, Manchin is better than the alternative, but at this point, y'all might as well vote in a Republican.
We'll have to get our Democratic senators from elsewhere. It ain't going to come from your state. No, it ain't. That's why I've been screaming from the rooftops. If you hate Joe Manchin, the best way to go about dealing with him is to make him irrelevant. Make him not matter. And that means taking away Marco Rubio's Senate voice. Supporting Charles Booker in Kentucky. John Fetterman in Pennsylvania. Tim Ryan in Ohio. Whoever turns out to be the nominee in Wisconsin. Same with Iowa. I've just named six. We catch fire for those six and turn those Senate seats Democratic. Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema can howl about how the filibuster preserves democracy all they want to, while they lose. Save Mark Kelly's seat in Arizona. Save Reverend Warnock's seat in Georgia. That's eight. Well, no, that's still six. But you get the idea. And by the way, please, DiFi, please. Retire. Let Gavin Newsom appoint somebody who's actually in the world all the time to fill the remainder of your term. So no, Lady B, it's not going to come from my state. Hey, here's a laugh. Want me to run against Joe Manchin in 24? Huh? I mean, I'd lose. I'd lose big. But at least there'd be a progressive challenger. And no, Chuck Schumer would not support me. Chuck Schumer is not going to support whoever it is that some outside group comes in here and pays to run against Joe Manchin. Because they're friends. They've got collegiality in the Senate. And you know, Joe is so thoroughly despised here that people may just stay home in 24 or do like I have done so many times and just left that seat blank and not cast a vote at all for that particular seat. I don't miss elections. I do take a miss on some races. I don't know. But anyway, we've got to fucking settle, Lady B says. Biden has to be president for everyone, even if it means nothing he wants to enact or pass will be enacted or passed. If sympathetic speeches are all you can give to people after a bill that would help the poor fails to pass your Congress, if every time children are massacred in their schools and all you can do is wipe your nose, it's a point. I honestly cannot tell you if I will remain a Democrat. Doesn't mean I won't vote. I just won't vote for them. Some say Bernie Sanders voters don't regret their vote. It was based on principle because they truly believed Hillary was more of the same. Biden's done some things, but tell that to the parents of the kids who lost their lives yesterday. That's a tough one, Lady B. 2 years. Like Steve Kerr said, 2 years there's been a bill sitting on the desk in the Senate, gathering dust and blood. Chuck Schumer would like to have a vote on it. Chris Murphy in Connecticut would like to have a vote on it. Not going to have a vote on it. Because people like that scumbag, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, says, you know, people just reach, they just jump out there and they blame it on the guns. And it's clearly, this person was mentally ill. But you didn't want to do anything about that either. But seriously, we talk about voting and we talk about voters and who'll vote for what, and if we can only get fired up,
I'm kind of sick about talking about Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, or talking about Moscow Mitch McConnell. They are symptoms of the disease. They are not the disease itself. The disease runs in the bloodstream of the American people. And I'm about to say something that makes me sick to say, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. Texans. And you know what? I bet even my brother John Bridivo would not disagree with me on this. Texans have to look in the mirror on this. They're the ones who elected Ken Paxton. They're the ones who elected Greg Aspott. They're the ones who elected, who's the lieutenant governor? Same name as a sports center anchor, but not nearly as intelligent. They elected them. They elected Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. They elected John Cornholio. Kentuckians, at least we think, elected Moscow Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. You know, there's a passage in my favorite American political novel, problematic though it is in places, All the King's Men. Willie Stark rises to power that eventually sees him becoming governor of the state of Louisiana, and is based loosely on Huey Long. But Willie Stark becomes governor when he, as the failed candidate, he was the treasurer of a county, and then he lost that election because he was said to be sympathetic to, you know, black people. And they let out bids on a school building. And Robert Penn Warren he was a poet as well as a novelist. And Willie got himself in trouble because he opposed a bid from a contractor to build a new school. And supported the bid of another contractor who hired black people to work. Well, because white supremacy, as the story goes in the novel, the county fathers choose the racist company to build the school, who, of course, cut corners. And so one day during a fire drill, as the precious little children on the third and fourth floors exit via the fire escape, the bolts in the brick give way. And with all those children on that fire escape itself collapses to the ground. And many children die. And at the funeral, one man throws his hands in the air and says, "Oh Lord, I am being punished, for I voted against an honest man." And Robert Penn Warren refers to the school that was built of politics' rotten brick. And that propels him to being courted to split the ticket by one of the gubernatorial factions. The moment when he finds out that he has been, because he's an optimist and an idealist at that point in time, the moment that he finds out he's been used as a patsy is when the fire ignites in his soul. Well, there's going to be a lot of funerals. a lot of funerals in Uvalde, Texas soon. And unfortunately, great pieces of prose in American English seldom get repeated in the real world. As he was confronting Greg Asbot and his gang of ugly Republicans today in Uvalde, they screamed at Beto O'Rourke, "Get out! Get out! How dare you make this about politics? Get out!" And he walked away, but not before having his say. I was reminded of that passage from All the King's Men in that moment, because Beto looked at those thugs, those soulless, merciless, remorseless, sickening, gun-humping, gun-fetishizing, gun-worshipping dogs, and he said, "You have done nothing. You have done nothing." And frankly, the optics were all on the side of Beto. So Lady B continues and says, "If Biden wants to be FDR, it's not going to happen. I don't know if we'll ever see that kind of power and unity again, so scold me all you want." I haven't scolded you. "There are millions who feel like I do, mostly young folks who think boomers and Gen Xers are the greediest fuck-ups the world has ever seen. Right now, I feel like they're right. I got 17 years before I can retire. I'm not happy there will be little to no money in Social Security for me because my party has no fucking guts, so fuck them. P.S. Biden and Kamala never came to Colorado. They relied on us being blue. My advice to them is to dance with the ones what brung you. Red states are nothing compared to losing what you once had in the bag." That was an ugly lesson that we learned in Wisconsin in 2016, wasn't it? And the claim was that Hillary didn't campaign enough in Michigan, didn't go to Wisconsin at all, and there was a price paid for that. I guess you could say Hillary paid the price politically. But consider the price paid in human lives when the person that they made the president ignored a deadly pandemic. This is all so complicated, isn't it? Dan Patrick, thank you. Thank you, Lee in New York. Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor of Texas. Thank you to Christopher. My part. And so now we are down to $35 to go on the current challenge that Joey put on the table. Thank you, Christopher. Steve in New York points out the one difference. I've taken to listening to and following lots of foreign media, particularly the UK and Canada. Lest anyone think we have any monopoly on loony or crazy, that's wrong. They have just as many crazies, weirdos, etc. as we do. The only difference is one word, guns. That's the one uncommon denominator. And President Biden has pointed this out repeatedly of late. Other countries have behavioral health problems. Other countries have mental health difficulties. Other people have violent video games. But they don't have this. Jude says, "I repeat, from my perspective, it is social engineering revealed that this darkened element of what we have discovered ourselves residing in is the dangerous type of laboratory. Stand solid. Be focused. And take care, community." Again, watch your back. It pays off. By the way, as Darlene in Connecticut points out, Beto's disruption got the Republican elected officials on stage. He got their panties in a bunch. Uvalde Mayor Don McLaughlin said, "You're a sick son of a bitch!" Doesn't sound like a very repentant man, does it? No. Randy Radar says, by the way, you can move more votes by supporting independent media. Adding, Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. The only way you'll have Democrats get off their asses is to challenge them with third-party candidates. The only way that third-party candidates are viable is by having ranked choice voting. Otherwise, you must cast a defensive vote for the Dems. If we were a democracy, no one should have to cast a defensive vote. But we aren't. It's right there in the Federalist Papers. We're going to put together whatever we put together, and whatever we put together we'll call democracy. It's right there in quill pen and ink. Lee adding, yeah, there's going to be a lot of funerals in Texas and a lot of thoughts and prayers. Well, fuck their thoughts and prayers. I don't know why we're still on Nancy Pelosi, but okay. Ron in Raleigh says, I'm not the only one who sees Miss Pelosi's disdain for the squad and cites to Jacobin magazine. Pelosi did actively support the do-nothing stiff AOC ran against and beat, and she knows her support of anyone running against AOC would turn to ashes in her mouth. Yeah, she supported the guy that Nancy, that AOC beat because he was a member of her caucus and a high-ranking member of her caucus. I mean, I just don't understand where this idea that the best way to maintain a majority is for the speaker to run around sticking shivs in her membership's back. I mean, remember, Matt, it just gets worse. Or at least we hope someday it does. That little fucker said that Kevin McCarthy can eat a bag of dicks because when they retake the House, he, Matt Gaetz, is going to make Nitwit Nero the Speaker of the House in January of 2025. You really want that kind of chaos? And secondarily, how much you could maybe make the argument that in that particular district in Texas, considering the way that the Republicans campaign against Democratic candidates with the by flogging Nancy Pelosi, that could have been a curse. Not saying that was actually the case, but it's a possibility. Oh, thank you, Billable Rick. Cowbell for you. Yeah, it's got an umbrella. Talking about my hormone cocktail, it's got an umbrella and it's got a little sword through a wedge of orange and a piece of pineapple. And I throw the pineapple away. I know where it's been. Thank you for the cowbell on that. Any health update on El Rushbo? Oh, well, apparently there's we might be seeing pineapple prices go down on the world pineapple futures market because they're going through a lot of them down there, and you know, once they've been used, they can't be reused, so they just put them back in the box and ship them up to us. Remember, this is America where, you know, there's salmonella in the goddamn peanut butter. You don't want to know about the pineapples. Mm-mm, no. Guns. As always, Scott in San Diego says, I like what Lady B wrote. Here's where I am in the matter. It's from my tear-stained Facebook from Wednesday. The NRA odometer of death has clicked once again. This time, the senseless carnage is in Texas. 18 school kids and 3 adults are dead. You won't need a crystal ball to say what happens next. Nothing. Oh, sure, we'll hear the usual litany about thoughts and prayers and how sad and tragic this is. We'll lower our flags and bury the dead, but no meaningful change will occur. The guns get bigger, the minds get smaller, the rhetoric gets louder, and nothing ever changes until we begin to behave in a manner that's consistent with keeping guns out of the hands of criminals, terrorists, and lunatics. This madness will continue to happen. When I posted this on Facebook, Scott adds, a friend commented it was too dark, too depressing, and too defeatist. Here's what I wrote back. I get that. My post reflects my outrage and sadness. I'd like to be more optimistic than I sound, but I've been around long enough, and I've seen this happen so many times. I think of a line in a song from my youth. How many deaths will it take till we know that too many people have died? Sadly, we're nowhere near that number, and likely won't be. Not in my lifetime. I know. I think it really is time that we start running. Well, we, you know, no, not me. Hell, I couldn't run a single ad during my campaign. But I think it is time that that somebody with a bunch of money on our side start asking voters in Texas and Kentucky and places like that, what the fuck is wrong with you? And yeah, West Virginia too. But in Kentucky, they've got a viable candidate against Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. They've got a great gubernatorial candidate in Texas in Beto O'Rourke. Georgia has Reverend Warnock. But, you know, Texans did this to themselves. By voting for Cruz and Cornyn, Kentuckians made Uvalde happen by returning Mitch McConnell to office. Isn't it about damned well time that the people responsible for this shit at least get called out as being responsible for this shit? Really? Wow, thank you to our pal Scott up in Wisconsin. Scott says, I got $100. If somebody matches it, I'll cover another $100. So that's a chance to take us down from 1310 to 1010. That's huge if we can round up another $100. Actually, we need to round up another $135. Finish Joey's challenge and then Scott's challenge. And that'll get us down to 1,090. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Yeah, I know it is gross about the pineapple. Don't worry, Ralphs. There will be no pineapple on the crudité tray at the Horn Inn. Ron, you're really hung up on the Pelosi thing this evening, my friend. Are you saying you have to support someone already elected against a better candidate, no matter how shitty they are? I guess incumbency is the ultimate armor. Fuck the better candidate. Don't worry about building a better party with superior candidates. Just keep the crappy cards you've already been dealt. I guess that's why Joe Manchin will always win in West Virginia. No, I have not said any of those things. I am talking about what Nancy Pelosi does as Speaker of the House. She supports the membership of her caucus. People are free to vote for whom they wish to vote for, in a primary, whether it be the incumbent or a challenger. But, okay, you've raised the issue of West Virginia. We've already seen what happens when you primary Joe Manchin. Nothing. No, really, nothing. Less than nothing. And that was the product of an outside group hiring somebody to run against him. And it came out as expected. And a whole bunch of the money that they raised with the candidate that they paid to run in West Virginia went to races outside West Virginia. So you'll forgive me if I'm a little bit bitter about that. No, a lot bitter. Build the superior party. support the superior candidates, but the people have to elect them first. And they will have the support of their party leadership once they get there. Even if it's nominal. I had, you know, and it remains a truth, even though I lost the primary. I heard things on the down low that there are a lot of Republicans in West Virginia who will not shed a tear if it happens that crazy-ass Tom Fast gets beaten in November. Because, well, he's crazy-ass Tom Fast. Crazy-ass Tom Fast. See what I did there? But they won't say it out loud. Because Republicans, generally, up until the rise of MAGA-try, knew how to follow Reagan's 11th commandment, thou shalt not criticize another Republican. We've never been much for that commandment. Because like Randy Radar said, we fall in love, they fall in line. And Arnold, thank you. Arnold in Pennsylvania just jumped in. We've got $10 to go on we got $10 to go on Joey and Giraffe's challenge, and then $100 to go on Scott in Wisconsin's challenge. Thank you, Arnold. Thank you so very kindly. We're making tremendous progress. So to sort of get back to some of the other reactions and the like that we've had in the last 24 hours, and since Joe to the Mansion Born has entered the conversation, I thought it was particularly humorous and thank you to an anonymous friend. Giraffe's challenge is finished, and we're $10 into the challenge by Scott in Wisconsin. So we are hopefully on our way down to $10.90 to go, and that's not even a full week of broadcasting. So that's tremendous. Thank you. No, I get up in the morning and I watch my filthy morning habit most of the time, and today was a good day to watch my filthy morning habit. I had the duct tape at hand, and I had the hockey puck, and yeah. So, there was a lot of pearl clutching and hand wringing this morning. Mika was in tears, and I don't think they were alligator tears. I think she felt it for real. And even Joe Scar finally got a little bit pissed off. Oh, wrong button. One of these days I'm going to learn how to run this show. Here we go.
We're going to hear from Republicans. This is the cost of freedom. We're going to hear from Republicans. There's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it. Why, if you pass this piece of legislation, well, that won't do anything about that shooting. And if you pass another piece of legislation, it won't do anything about this other shooting. We also hear something really gross from the same people who will desperately seek to find any crime that an illegal immigrant causes and then run it on their TV network for 24 hours a day. It's never time to talk about this, is it? And they're cowards. They're such cowards. And of course, they don't want to talk about it. Just like January the 6th, like we saw in the focus group, they want you to forget about it. They don't want us to ever talk. When was the right time to talk about 9/11? Oh, I don't know, a year later? No, I would say a pretty damn good time to talk about 9/11 would have been on 9/11 when it was happening. On 9/12, how did this happen? On 9/13, let's make sure this never happens again. But these fools, well, they're not fools. They know exactly what they're doing. These barbarians, they get on TV and they say, oh, let's not talk about it now. As 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids now in our schools from Newtown to Texas are getting gunned down by military weapons. So mutilated that their moms and dads can't even recognize their faces. And Washington does nothing. Hey, Joe Manchin, after Newtown, you did something, all right? Do something. Joe, I'm kind of tired. We're friends. I'm just going to tell you, your old routine about, oh, it's always this person or it's always that. But Joe, why don't you get out in front of something for once in 5 years and start talking about what you can do instead of you can't do? Because all you ever talk about is what you can't do. You're a Democrat that got the.
Can I just point something out? Joe Scarborough's Booker is probably sitting somewhere with her head in her hands like that.
Oh, no. God damn it.
Yeah, there's another one we can't get on the show anymore.
Joe's always so good to say, sure, I'll be on the show. I'd love to talk to Joe and Mika. I love Joe and Mika.
Well, that's a vengeful motherfucker, and he probably will not show back up. Just saying.
That's right. After Newtown. And you pushed with Pat Toomey. You pushed with him on background checks. You need to do that again. 90% of...
It didn't come to nothing, Mr. Finch. All your Miss Mayellas and all your pleas and thank yous and your Pat Toomeys and your Joe Manchins. It didn't come to nothing, Mr. Scarborough. Nothing. Sorry.
American support background checks. 90%. Almost two-thirds of Americans oppose military-style weapons. Almost two-thirds of Americans, overwhelming number of Americans, support gun safety laws that Congress will not pass. But here's the thing, it's not just that. What makes it worse is not just what Congress is not doing. What makes it worse is what state legislators are doing. There is a race to the bottom. We saw it in abortion, where a 13-year-old girl can get raped, and she's forced to carry the rapist's baby full term, basically ending her life as she knows it. Well, Texas and other states are racing to the bottom. Florida, racing to make sure you can get a gun without training. You can get a gun without a permit. You can just go buy a gun and open carry it. This is insanity. You know who says this is insanity? Gun shop owners, NRA members, gun owners like myself, people that understand the power of a gun and want to use a gun, have a gun responsibly. That understand you need to go to the range, you need to practice. If you're going to have a gun in your home for protection, you need to know what you have.
And, you know, I wasn't kidding when I did the whole Miss Mayella and it don't come to nothing, Mr. Scarborough, it don't come to nothing, because it don't come to nothing. They stuck a microphone in Joe to the Manchin-born's face, and this was the result.
Filibuster should not be needed at all to be even talking about throwing out the one tool that we have that gets us, that keeps us working and at least talking together. Without that, we've got nothing. You got no checks and balances.
Yeah. He's still, a child's life is still not worth the filibuster for a single issue. 19 children's lives are not worth eliminating the filibuster. Sandy Hook, Parkland, Uvalde, Virginia Tech, Littleton, Colorado, Aurora, Colorado, Tucson, Arizona. On, Buffalo. On and on. It does not matter how many people die. Joe Manchin thinks he's a fucking statesman. And he's going to protect, what, democracy? Yeah, okay. Well, thank God for people like Chris Murphy. You know what, Darlene in Connecticut, you have a right to be proud of your senator. There aren't that many of us who can be. Well, actually, a decent majority of Americans can be proud of their senators because they have good senators. It's just that there are too many bad senators from too many small populous states. So is a West Virginian. Please accept my apologies. I would do something about this if I could. Let's see if Texans apologize for sending Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, to the Senate, or John Cornholio. Let's see if Kentuckians apologize for sending Moscow Mitch and Rand Paul and that thing on his head to the Senate. Let's see if South Carolinians apologize for sending Tim Scott and Lady G to the Senate. Do I need to go through the list? Because there are 50 Republican senators, and voters sent them all to the Senate. And they owe the apology. But I'm guessing there won't be any floral arrangements or any sympathy cards signed the people of South Carolina or the Republican voters of Texas at any of the myriad funerals that will be taking place in and around Uvalde. And that disaffected little monster, the worst thing since Mother Lanza's boy. I guess he'll be buried. Or maybe just cremated. And no one will be there. His mama's so fucked up that the grandmother that Ramos shot in the face before he started his attack on the school, his mom is so fucked up, she probably won't even know her boy is dead. Grandma's trying to evict her. It reminds me of the beginning of Anna Karenina. It's kind of a literary night tonight, isn't it? Afternoon. Tolstoy says at the beginning of Anna Karenina that all happy families are happy in the same way, but every unhappy family is unhappy differently. Since the for-profit media will be awash, if it already is, in discussions of mental health and behavioral health and violent video games and rap music. No, really, Republicans already blame this on rap music, which is just white supremacist shorthand for what? Black people made the Hispanic kid shoot up the other Hispanic kid? What? Uh, let's take a moment to wonder who the next disturbed person is who's going to end the universe for a score or more of people. But what I said a minute ago, Darlene, you have an absolute right to be proud of the senator you have. Wish he was my senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from Connecticut.
Mr. President, there are 14 kids dead in an elementary school in Texas right now. What are we doing? What are we doing? Just days after a shooter walked into a grocery store to gun down African American patrons, we have another Sandy Hook on our hands. What are we doing? There have been more mass shootings than days in the year. Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in a classroom because they think they're going to be next. What are we doing? Why do you spend all this time running for the United States Senate? Why do you go through all the hassle of getting this job, of putting yourself in a position of authority, if your answer is that as this slaughter increases, as our kids run for their lives, we do nothing? What are we doing? Why are you here? If not to solve a problem as existential as this. This isn't inevitable. These kids weren't unlucky. This only happens in this country and nowhere else. Nowhere else do little kids go to school thinking that they might be shot that day. Nowhere else do parents have to talk to their kids, as I have had to do, about why they got locked into a bathroom and told to be quiet for 5 minutes just in case a bad man entered that building. Nowhere else does that happen except here in the United States of America, and it is a choice. It is our choice to let it continue. What are we doing? In Sandy Hook Elementary School, after those kids came back into those classrooms, they had to adopt a practice in which there would be a safe word that the kids would say if they started to get thoughts in their brain about what they saw that day. If they started to get nightmares during the day, reliving stepping over their classmates' bodies as they tried to flee the school. In one classroom, that word was monkey. And over and over and over through the day, kids would stand up and yell, monkey. And a teacher or a paraprofessional would have to go over to that kid, take them out of the classroom, talk to them about what they had seen, work them through their issues. Sandy Hook will never, ever be the same. This community in Texas will never, ever be the same. Why? Why are we here? If not to try to make sure that fewer schools and fewer communities go through what Sandy Hook has gone through, what Uvalde is going through. Our heart is breaking for these families. Every ounce of love and thoughts and prayers we can send, we are sending. But I'm here on this floor to beg, to literally get down on my hands and knees and beg my colleagues. Find a path forward here. Work with us to find a way to pass laws that make this less likely. I understand my Republican colleagues will not agree to everything that I may support, but there is a common denominator that we can find. There is a place where we can achieve agreement that may not guarantee that America never, ever again sees a mass shooting. That may not overnight cut in half the number of murders that happen in America. It will not solve the problem of American violence by itself. But by doing something, we at least stop sending this quiet message of endorsement to these killers whose brains are breaking, who see the highest levels of government doing nothing, shooting after shooting. What are we doing? Why are we here? What are we doing? I yield the floor.
All more than appropriate questions. And of course, we go back to Joe Manchin. I want to go back to that clip again. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says in light of what Chris Murphy had already said. And I know. I am proud of Chris Murphy, Darlene says. I think everybody who cares about children, I think everybody who cares about women, everybody who yes. God, he'd make a great majority leader, wouldn't he? But then again, majority leader, it's power and it's not power. It's, thank you to an anonymous friend who took our fundraising goal for Scott's challenge from Wisconsin down to $80. And hey, thank you, Samson. That challenge has been met. We're down to 1,090. No, we're not down to 1,090. We're down to 1,070. Thank you, Samson. Thank you so much. Thank you. Flavio says voters need to make people like Manchin and Sinema irrelevant. That's what I said earlier in the program. Voters in West Virginia can't do that, Flavio. I don't engage in magical thinking. Even Gabe, who beat me in the primary, knows he is in an uphill fight to displace Tom Fast. Even in this beautifully, somewhat progressive little blue dot in a sea of blood red. Because he'll have enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of sopping wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills. Because the money will flow in from the religion industry and all the creepy 501c3s, or C4s, not C3s, but C4s. And, that's an example. This is no easy place to run. We're down to two Congress creeps. Carol Miller and Looney Mooney. We got two Congress creeps and we got two senators. And all four of them are not worth the hot air it would take to blow up a balloon and raise them into the stratosphere. But Flavio, you are right. And Flavio, you are in a position in Wisconsin to do everything in your power to support the Democratic candidate against the dumbest man in the Senate of the United States, Ron Johnson. You remember, it was years ago now, he was on the Asia Pacific Summit, was that it? It was the summit where they made George W. wear the clown suit. It was held in China. And he was on a stage, and he was looking to get out, and it was great humor because there were multiple doors. It was the lady or the doofus, not a tiger. And he stood at the door trying to open the door, but the door was locked and he wanted off stage. And then he went and found the right door and exited. Remember that? I remember that. Well, it kind of happened again with Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He works in the lumber mills there. He was trying to get away from some intrepid practitioner of the Fourth Estate, asking him hard questions about dead children. And he sat there trying to enter a lock, get into a locked door. Come on, the door's locked. Stop asking the question. What? But Flavio, get out there and do everything you can. Push yourself. Knock on doors. Hey, phone bank. Get rid of Ron Johnson. Wow, that's 7 senators we've named. No, we're still at 6. Got to protect Senator Cortez Masto in Nevada. But with 6 senators and we hold all the other seats we have, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema don't matter anymore. They are effectively ciphers in a 50-50 vote. We don't have enough to break a filibuster, but we have enough to break the filibuster. So there's your chance, Flavio. Lee in New York says, you know, there's no amount of dead children worth more than a microphone to Joe Manchin. Well, and I explained on Twitter earlier today, there are just as there's a first law of thermodynamics and a second law of thermodynamics, there are two laws of Manchin. Joe Scarborough doesn't understand either one of them. The first one is, no Manchin ever does anything that benefits anyone whose name isn't Manchin. The second law of Manchin is, no Manchin has ever voted for a Democrat whose name wasn't Manchin. It really is that simple. And it would be nice if more people could understand that. Well, I tweeted it at Joe. He'll never see it, but nonetheless. Yeah, Lee in New York noting it was because of the games. I played Dungeons and Dragons. I never killed in the real world. I never became a white supremacist, but I am white, so the fact is that the blame is not going to the cause. Look at all that logic. But listen to what Joe Manchin says about why he won't support breaking the filibuster to stop children from being murdered.
Filibuster should not be needed at all, to be even talking about throwing out the one tool that we have that gets us, that keeps us working.
The filibuster should not be needed in a discussion about children's lives. In other words, all those Republican senators who have so far sat on their hands while children have bled and died, while elderly African Americans in Buffalo have bled and died, while every victim of gun violence in this country has bled and died, well, you know, a miracle should just take place, and tomorrow morning, a bunch of Republicans should just come up and say, hey, how are you, to Chuck Schumer, and say, let's get that bill off the desk, and let's do the background check bill, but, you know, hold on. I've bought a firearm. And you have to, you know, fill out your FBI, ATF, what the fuck ever it is thing, and they got a computer right there for you to do it. And then they say, okay, go ahead, give them the gun. That's a background check. There are no background checks at gun shows. There's no background check when your neighbor swaps you his 2 prize-winning egg-laying ducks and a spotted heifer for your AR-15. No background check there. We can't even, you know, we could criminalize the possession of AR-15s and say that anybody caught committing a crime with an AR-15 or some similar weapon goes to prison for life without parole. We could do that. There's all kinds of creative solutions out there. We could, among other things, require insurance for firearms owners, like a $1 million policy. You think, and I hate to even talk in financial terms like this, but you think there was $1 million worth of damages done yesterday in Uvalde? Because I'm pretty sure there was. Just in wrongful death damages alone. You think? Oh, I'm sorry, Jeremy. Thank you very kindly. So we are now down to 1,060 to go. You know, if we did another $160, we'd be fully funded for everything up to Monday. Scott in San Diego says, W's Chinese door. I may be misremembering. I don't think that was a real locked door. I think it was actually part of the stage setting. It was. It was a door. It was a doorknob on a wall. You're not helping W's cause any, Scott. You can't carry a gun in Washington, D.C., says Randy Radar, so it is possible to pass gun control. And, of course, as noted, in the wake of Sandy Hook, the somewhat responsible state legislature of Connecticut passed gun control, gun reform, went all the way to the Supreme Court, and even that gang of thugs said, yep, you can do that. In the otherwise toxic Heller decision, Fat Dead Tony Scalia said it is perfectly constitutional for municipalities and for states to pass reasonable, whatever that means, gun laws. So, I mean, I hope it has become abundantly clear where the problem lays. Not sure. It's in the Senate of the United States, the single most useless deliberative body. Remember? All deliberate speed. Deliberate means slow. Deliberative body means slow body. Yeah. The Senate is the problem. But, you know, maybe Joe Biden didn't deliver enough ponies to make people want to get out and get active and get fired up about the prospect of saving more children's lives. I don't know. I don't. Hard to say. So, what do you think? Want to talk about it? I would rather not filibuster for the next hour and 10 minutes of the program. I've already filibustered an hour and 50 minutes of it so far. Skype line's open. Stress line's open. If you want to engage in some conversation, please feel free. Meanwhile, how about this? Annette sent this along, and so did Kevin in Massachusetts. There was a sentencing hearing today. Remember, we talked about this. Jeremy brought it to our attention last week. You remember when Mother Duggar, sent her pleading note to the judge who was about to sentence her beloved little pedophile to a prison term. She said he was talking about what a good Christian her pedophile son was, is. How he looked for creative ways to help his family. Well, a federal judge in Arkansas today sent Josh Duggar to the big house. I mean, he was already imprisoned, but he's going to stay there for a while. He was looking at 20 years making little rocks out of big rocks. This was Arkansas. That's why there's a little rock joke. Yeah. But the judge decided that giving him the whole 20 years would just be, I guess, too rough on a good Christian like Josh. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, after all. Allegedly, he molested his sisters. Never got charged for that. He got 7 kids on his poor wife. You might recall he got busted when he was a lobbyist for the Family Research Council in D.C., cruising, was it Grindr? But he was busted for receipt of child pornography and possession of child pornography. And so he's going to do 12 years in federal penitentiary. You know, if only he'd participated in the January 6th insurrection, maybe he would have gotten 6 months. But even after he gets out, he's going to have 20 years of supervised release, parole. And he's facing a $10,000 fine, which he can pay yesterday. Because 19 kids and counting was very, very good for business. And I agree with Kevin. 12 years, that's it. Huh? Yeah. 12 out of 20. It's a pity the federal judge in Arkansas didn't have a little bit more of a sense of humor. He could have sentenced Josh to, I don't know, 19 years and counting. See what I did there? Okay, let's run over and check in with Glenn. Hey, Glenn.
How you doing? I got a crazy idea. Is there any type of referendum that we could use against something that has, I mean, how far does the referendum go? Could you overrule the Supreme Court with something like that?
No.
Oh, well, okay. I didn't know. I didn't know whether that.
No, well, no, I mean, I kind of wish, but no. The Supreme Court rules, and if the Congress decides it doesn't like the ruling of the Supreme Court, the Congress can overrule the Supreme Court with a statute, which, curiously, the Supreme Court then gets to rule on its constitutionality.
Okay. In other words, there's no way to defeat them.
Well, there is a way to defeat them. And
yeah,
that is,
you can impeach them, yeah.
Well, you could impeach them, but it is Congress's job to set the number of Supreme Court justices. It's not in the Constitution that there has to be 9.
Yeah, make it 11 or 15 or something like that.
Right. I, for one, am in favor of making the Supreme Court 15 and letting the president appoint every one of the new justices and make sure they're all 30 years old.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need somebody that's 70 years old to come go there because he's going to retire in a couple of years.
Well, right. I mean, the Republicans figured this out a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they've been appointing children to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the Supreme Court, I mean, the handmaid, has she even crossed 50?
I don't know how old she is.
I think Brat is barely in his 50s, if he is at all. Old Balls and Strikes Roberts was in his 40s.
Yeah.
And I think Slappy was a youngster, too. Because they know that when they appoint youngish people to the Supreme Court, they're going to be able to continue to screw America for literally generations.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just a thought. I had, I thought I'd try it out for size. I kind of figured there's no way to do it other than what you said.
I mean, I personally think if we, dare to, I've been saying this for years, dare to dream. If we could get ourselves, or hang on to the majority in the House, we could at least make the handmaid and Slappy and Brat and Anne's boy Neil, we could make them live with the stigma of being impeached justices of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look at how little that affects Trump. I mean, he figures that's a badge of honor.
Yeah, but that's Trump. These people are obsessed with their own so-called honor, when they have none. It would sting a lot more to have been rebuked by the Congress.
Yeah, and that stays forever. Somebody's going to read 100 years from now and say, well, she got impeached or he got impeached.
Right, exactly. So, we'll see.
Yeah, but I don't have.
But step one is preserving what we have and adding to what we have. And if when you talk to your friends and stuff, try to be excited. Try to talk about the desperate need we have to, because we are so screwed.
Yeah.
If they take the majority in both houses.
Yeah.
Of course, the first thing they'll do is impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I know. And even if they could, that isn't going to work. I mean, but still, what if they take both Senate and the House? That might work. What kind of mess does that throw it in?
Oh, a hot mess, without a doubt.
Yeah, just somebody of... it's a crazy thing to say put Trump in as Speaker of the House. I mean, people are crazy enough to put Putin in as Speaker of the House.
Yeah. It's like that old Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
Yeah, we're in interesting times.
Doesn't get much more interesting than this.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything more to say. I just wanted to question you about that one.
Well, I'm glad you did. Feel free to chime in anytime. It's always good to hear your voice.
Okay, you take care. Bye.
All right, bye. And that's Glenn. Hey, see how easy it is? And so both lines are open. If you want to continue the conversation, I find it, I find it processually, is that a word? I find that we get to more interesting places when we're talking together, come let us reason together. Scott in San Diego, I ran the Steve Kerr clip, I think, in the first hour. Oh, I don't know, Ron. Probably because it's just so damn depressing. You haven't mentioned why have you avoided talking about... this stings. I mean, cue up the Petticoat Junction theme, the Green Acres theme, and the Beverly Hillbillies theme, all at the same time. Why have you avoided talking about Jethreen Huckabee Sanders winning her primary? Seems white folks will vote for anybody with an R behind their name. The Supes are about to overrule the delegation doctrine, thereby putting the kibosh on all regulatory agencies. Buy your gas masks and water purification equipment now. Oh, really? Please tell me she's not an Aquarius like me. Justice Handmaid turned 50 in January. And like I said, I think they sort of, the evil that the Supreme Court is doing right now, it kind of took some of the sting out of it by leaking the Dobbs decision, didn't it? Which kind of means, as far as I can tell, that it probably was Sammy Bad Breath or somebody acting at his instruction on his staff who did the leaking. And if, in fact, that is the case, the far-reaching investigation that was ordered by old Balls and Strikes, well, it's just going to be an insoluble mystery, and we'll just never know. See how it works. Hey, let's go over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd, good to hear from you.
How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great.
Okay. Good to hear your voice.
A little less than great. I mean, it's my first adventure taking a drug called Peridium. Yay.
Peridium.
Oh, yeah. That's what you take when you got a urinary tract infection, but yeah, these things happen.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, when you said that, I was like, wait a minute, I've seen that chemical before.
It turns your pee. Interesting.
Green?
No. A really bright yellow, sort of an orangey yellow. Did you ever? I'm going to ruin this stuff forever for everybody, and it's a pity because it was so good. There was this artificial butter and nut flavoring you could buy in the spice and flavorings aisle of your local grocery store, and that's what it was called, butter and nut flavoring. And it made the best pound cake. But it was red, but when you cooked with it, it turned yellow. That's what peridium does to, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. You're not supposed to be getting a urinary tract infection.
Yes. It's not something you look for, but, I mean, this is just, I said everybody gets to go on the ride, and, well, this is the down, this is the creepy downhill side of the roller coaster that makes you want to vomit.
I mean, are you healed up?
Well, I mean, I'm healing. I won't be fully healed till like I'm a year post surgery, but it was bound to happen sooner or later.
Welcome to the other side.
Right? Yeah, welcome to womanhood. I know every woman I've said since I got one, they're like, well, you know. And it is actually anatomically a function of having a lot less urethra than I used to. And you know, when I'm sitting in the swimming pool and I have a great idea, I jump up out of the swimming pool and run through the agora, yelling, "Urethra! I have found it!" Never mind. That's bad classical history humor.
I don't know why, but that makes me think of Peabody and.
Sherman and Mr. Peabody? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I don't know why. Jethreen isn't there, is she?
Yeah. No.
You know what's funny? I just, when you said that, I used to get a kick out of that. I was like, these people are crazy. Like, Because Jethro was a bit was buff. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Max Baer, Max Baer Jr. in drag. Yes, Jethrine. Jethrine you know, Bodine.
They should have had this episode, maybe they did, with Mr. Haney, you know, and the Green Acres crowd. When they should get together with the Beverly Hillbillies, and then they go to Petticoat Junction and just to see what happens. That would have been hilarious.
Well, apparently, Mr. Drucker's store was not that far, you know, from the old Haney place that Mr. Douglas bought.
Oh God! As you know, those shows were. I was already. I mean, they were off the air when I started. He's reruns, you know, but my God, that's some funny stuff. Well, I'm glad you brought up Morning Joe, because
were you watching?
At least he said yes, and I'm going back to last week when I'm telling you Eddie's not going to be on for a while because Eddie kept pushing back and Joe.
Well, but they actually, I thought about you this morning because there was a reference to the profound things that Eddie said last week.
Well, good. What? Because he did. He spelled. See, Joe didn't want to really embrace what Eddie was saying. And I can say this. I can be very succinct because this is something a lot of folks have to say a lot. This is who we are. This is not who we want to be, but we have to accept this is who we are. In other words, to heal.
Yeah, I mean. Forgiveness is predicated upon repentance.
Yeah. And, Joe, you know, is kind of, you know, he just wasn't ready to accept that. And that's a problem. And you know, that's the PC posture. It's like, no, this, we're better. If we weren't better, no, this is who we are. And this is the part that Eddie didn't get into for some reason, time constraints or whatever, because then you get into systems and institutions. And that's the thing. These things that we're dealing with, not all, that's absolute. Many of these things we're dealing with are entrenched in our systems and institutions.
Oh, I love how you double clutched on that. It's not all, it's many. It's not an absolute. That was a beautiful moment on your part.
I appreciate that.
That was an intellectually honest, rigorously scientific observation.
Well, I'm trying to pull away from the rant.
Universal affirmatives are only partially convertible, as I learned listening to Monty Python Records.
That's a brilliant statement.
You've heard that, haven't you?
No, I didn't.
Universal affirmatives are only partially convertible. All of Elmer Cogan is dead, but only part of the class of dead people are Elmer Cogan.
Well, it's true. That's what Eddie was, if he had more time, I think that, you know, if he would act like the professor he is.
No, but they had to go to break.
They had to go to break and pay the bills. But, and see, that's what part of...
they had to go to break and avoid the discomfort.
The discomfort. You know, man, it's going to. That's part of healing. You got to rip that Band-Aid off, expose that skin. You know how you get that cut when you're cooking, and it might be small, but it's deep, and you know it's like, okay, I have to rinse this with water. It's still bleeding, and you know it's going to get infected at some point because your skin will close up overnight, and you got to squeeze the pus out before and put the Neosporin on before it will really heal properly. You see, we need some pus squeezing.
Yeah.
So I was glad that Joe said shitty this morning. It just rolled out real smooth. It was like, oh, shitty. I don't know if you missed that.
I did catch it. And there wasn't a bleep, was there?
No. Nope. 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 They kept rolling. Oh, and by the way, you're definitely going to be hearing. I have the interface up to donate. I can't multitask when I'm not at work.
Oh, Todd, thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's just what I usually, a little bit more than what I usually get, but it's something, you know, because I mean, frankly, it could be a lot worse. I know it's bad, but it could be worse. It could be. It was a hole. You were in a hole, a big hole.
Yeah, still finishing May is going to, finishing May to the okay is going to be a challenge, because by the time, how does this even play out? So, 1, 2, 3, 4. After this, we have 4 programs left, and that'll be basically it's $2,200 to finish May.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's as hard as it is this May because we finished April really hard.
Well,
God, where are those limousine liberals when you need them?
Tell it. So one thing I've been hearing since this tragic incident in Texas is the power hierarchy in Texas is talking about, you know, like they did here, oh, we need to arm the teachers. And, you know, that is the dumbest damn thing.
Well, how is a teacher going to shoot back when she's shielding her student with her body?
Not. And if they do, what happens when you miss? Because remember, people miss more than they hit a target, especially human. It's hard.
That is an interesting statistic. And did you know that what you just observed is the reason that the NRA was founded?
Oh. Well, isn't that interesting? Yeah,
because it was founded by a couple of Union Army officers in the aftermath of the Civil War, because they found out that the Union soldiers tended to miss more than they hit. And they weren't particularly good with guns.
Interesting.
So it became a shooting society.
Well, see, that's the NRA I remember. I was never really, I was only one guy on the block and I was little.
Oh, no, it was Alabama. We'd get American riflemen in the high school library. And it was full of, because it was Alabama, it was full of tips and tricks on how to run a drive on deer, or how to stalk a deer, or the best weapon to use in squirrel season, and because, you know, down south we do like our squirrel brains and gravy. Sorry about dinner in the Mountain Standard time zone, but well, shit.
Oh man, it's the scrapple of squirrels, huh?
Oh no, it's just gravy.
Well, pig brains are scrapple.
Well, pig brains and pig trotters and pig tails and pig ears and pig snouts and pig everything is scrapple. Parts is parts, Todd.
I guess that's what they call it, scrap. Oh,
yes. Yeah. Yes.
There we go.
You be careful among those English.
So since you brought up the NRA, you know what? This is interesting because we have all forgotten that the liberal media is so liberal, they just dropped Maria Butina, or Butina, however you want to say it.
Who?
See? You know?
Yeah, last I saw of her, she was holding up signs in a video talking about, I don't know, how she wanted to have Vladdy's babies or something.
Why does her name rhyme with his last name? That's what I don't get.
And why does it sound vaguely dirty, Bootin Putin?
You know, it's something, that's too much of a coincidence. But, you know, this is what I was asking someone today. You know, someone that I disagree with politically. I said, you know, do you remember Maria Butina, who inserted herself deeply, deep in the NRA? You know, and what party mostly affiliates with the NRA? You know, just let's connect these dots. And they got, they got the brain freeze. And I'm like, no, we have to investigate this. Because they're getting us from every front. The disinformation, misinformation, they want, you know, we're going to shoot ourselves to death. Because this gun shit ain't going to stop. It could happen tomorrow again.
Could? May.
May. Yeah. Yeah. May. May, June, July, August. Once a month. But there's a lot of meat on that bone, you know, to me. But I mean, don't we have enough? I mean, good God, there needs to be a moratorium on gun purchases and gun purchases, I would say. But that will never happen. What's the answer here?
Well, I think it has to be creative, Todd. I think it has to be things like insurance policies. I think, you know, a limit on the number of guns you can purchase. And frankly, the one thing where Congress can do something is, and President Biden talked about it, he said, you know, when we had an assault weapons ban, these things reduced. When that was allowed to expire and the market was flooded with them, they increased exponentially.
That is true. That's empiricism. That's just true. You know what else is interesting? I seem to remember as a younger person, let's say late teens, mid to late teens, in the back of some magazines, you know, these assault rifles were only about $100. They were cheap.
Yeah, and well, when they're $100, they're pretty much garbage, but as long as they're firing, they do their job.
I can't imagine how folks are still, they don't get it. They're not connecting these dots. And that brings me to these focus groups that one of Bush's old folks, what's her name from Mississippi? Did you see the focus groups that she's been doing? What is her name?
Elise Keener.
Elise Keenan Jordan, whatever her name is. Yeah, Elise. The one from yesterday was absolutely astounding. Well, all of them are astounding, but there's one guy in particular. He sticks out. He's got like kind of thick, smoky-looking glasses. But he was just confounded, and he could not respond when Elise said, "But wait a minute, what if those people were black?" And he said, "Well, you know," he just couldn't make sense of it. He said, "But," he said, "you know, were they wrong in storming the Capitol?" He said, "No, because Trump won, and they had to do something." And what about Trump pandering for votes? Well, he felt bad. You know, what did you expect him to do? Oh, just commit a felony, pander for votes. The fuck is that?
I know.
What the hell is wrong with these people? I mean, you need, really, honest to God, these focus groups are enlightening. We're not going to get, I don't see how we're getting anywhere anytime soon, because they just are not, there is a mental illness going on. It is Trump derangement syndrome. There's a blockage there. Logic just cannot compete with their confirmation bias.
Well, look, but I think another part of it is they're asking the wrong questions. I'd like to see one of these focus groups full of white Republicans and say, well, hey, you know, you put these people in, you're the ones who put these people in office who do nothing while our children die. Do you feel any responsibility for that? Nope, I just did what Jesus told me. And Jesus is never wrong.
Well, that's the fallback position. That means nothing. So you need to go and get treatment because you're just hearing voices and shit. Because Jesus told you, you know, there's a word for that. Yeah. You know, but I know what you're saying. But that's where we are. So I just don't get it. This shit can't go on. My God, we'll have nothing left, man. Another 10 years.
Well, but I mean, let's unpack that for a minute, please. this shit can't go on. But it seems to be going on. And more people in this country are probably pissed off about gasoline prices than are pissed off about this. Am I wrong?
Well, no, but especially in this case, because they're, you know, Hispanic kids mostly.
It's like we can't hold. It's like we can't hold more than one outrage in our hearts at a time.
You know, we've just gone down the shithole. We are the shithole country. And oh, and speaking of the gas prices, two things. Oh, you now you got me started. You know,
here we go.
With these explanations, I'm only hearing it a little bit. Now, Robert Reich, who is of the same physical stature as his nemesis from time before Milton Friedman, which is, I think, is quite interesting. That's just too weird. You know, you listen to this rat fucker, the economist on Morning Joe. How many years? I mean, probably 2 decades, 3 decades. They complain, well, regular folk aren't just, they're not saving enough. People don't have enough money in the bank. They need to do better. They're not saving enough. They're just spendthrifts. Da, da, da. So now motherfuckers got a couple bucks in their fucking bank account. Well, they're not spending enough. Well, that's the problem. They're not spending enough. That fucker needs to be slapped.
It's an old and time honored canard. at the end of the Second World War, Todd, that was a Republican rallying cry for the government not doing anything for the American people. Ain't been nothing out there to buy for a few years, and people are just sitting on their money. They got all that money in savings. We got to make them go out and buy stuff. I kid you not. I mean, you can do like a Nexus search and find those stories from that far back.
Oh, I believe you, because you look at that time period, late 40s, early 50s, that was the heyday of Madison Avenue, right? Advertising.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get this new car. You need Tupperware. You got to have this. You got to keep up with the Joneses. You know.
Well, look, a young Mick Jagger by the early 60s is singing, so she buys a frozen cake and she burns a frozen steak and she goes home to the shelter of her mother's little helper.
Her little Valium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the brand new consumer culture was destroying people, especially women who were bearing the brunt of the miraculous new post-war economy.
Keeping up with the Joneses, maybe. Yeah, that's quite interesting. That's quite interesting.
Well, it's like that horror movie of a couple of years back, Us. Remember Jordan Peele's Us?
Yeah.
All about middle class economic jealousy. And then the shadow creatures from an alternate dimension start showing up. And they're the real us, U.S.
The real us. This is who we are. But since you brought it up, we have to find out how many Russian assets we have embedded in our in certain branches of government.
And yet, you know what? I just happened to run across something earlier today. The weird little movement or cult or whatever it is of Russia didn't do nothing wrong. You crow Nazis. is bigger than you suspect.
Do tell.
Oh, I mean, you've got podcasts, you've got so-called whistleblowers out there, and almost without fail, anybody who argues, you know, Ukraine is the real problem, well, they're also, and the 2020 election was stolen. And the vaccine will put little micro 5G liquid barcodes in you, so Bill Gates will know everywhere you are.
Would people believe that?
Yes, because believing is dangerous.
I mean, they firmly believe that. I mean, look at Ron Johnson. Do you think he knows what a URL is? If you say, hey Ron, check that URL.
No, and oh boy, have I got a great example of that? Holy mackerel! So I mentioned earlier that the demon dentist of the desert, Paul Gosar. Well, he tweeted and then deleted, but that's okay. It got saved. A claim that that the shooter in Uvalde was a transsexual illegal immigrant.
What?
Yeah. And you know I've been kind of hammering away on 4chan, right?
And they deserve it.
Well, we now know where that came from.
Where?
There's a trans woman in Georgia. Her name is Sam. And she looks like she might be somewhat Hispanic. But there's a picture of her standing in front of a trans flag. There's a trans flag hanging behind me right now, too. And over on 4chan, they found a picture of her, and they spread that picture around as being a picture of the Uvalde shooter. She's 20 years old. NBC News interviewed her. Tracy told me about this. And they harvested her photos from Instagram. And she told NBC News, "This isn't the first time I was harassed, but it is the first time I've been accused of murder." And on Tuesday afternoon, they posted her picture on 4chan saying, "Here's the shooter's Reddit." And then, attached a transphobic slur, of course.
They can't help themselves. They got to drag that into it's a non sequitur. That has nothing to do with the whole topic. Well, maybe.
And by the time the demon dentist of the desert got hold of it, he said, "It's a transsexual leftist illegal alien named Salvatore Ramos." The young conservatives of southern Talibandiana shared it, too. Then Alex Jones picked it up and spread it as gospel. And then Candy Owens, you know, Hitler would have been okay if he was just a nationalist. He would have been okay if he stayed inside his own borders. That Candy.
Yeah.
She said, "I have seen cross-dressing photos of the shooter from Uvalde."
One thing I picked up about the young Ramos, I believe that's his last name, Ramos.
Yeah, Ramos.
is that he has a speech impediment, or had a speech impediment.
A lisp.
A lisp. And, you know, kids are mean as hell.
Yes, they are.
And they don't understand how mean they can be to each other, I don't think, at the time. They think it's funny.
And as far back as eighth grade, his best friend said that he saw him one evening with cuts all over his face, and he said, "Oh, the cat got to me." And that, no, I was cutting myself for fun.
Okay.
And so cutting is a problem. Self harm is a problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hate yourself. Self mutilation. Come on. You remember those kids in school, they'd have, especially a lot of girls, they'd have, you could see where they took a razor blade across their wrist, and it would just be, you know, what are you doing during the weekend? You know,
God, I hate to even talk about this, but there's an old rubric among kids from a certain time, and they'll show pictures of a wrist and a line across the wrist, and it says hospital, and a line down the wrist says morgue.
Mm. Oh, you mean like a PSA?
Well, no, I mean, it was on self-harm forums.
I remember the anorexia, bulimia, the mutilation. There was a lot of girls there was a Venn diagram, but there were a lot. It was popular. Like, that was happening.
Yeah.
Some people. But at least there's grilled chicken breast and grilled brisket.
Nice. You've got your hands on a brisket?
No, I've got my hands on some money that might allow me to acquire a brisket. You know, it's getting hard, man. I don't think our food is as safe as we would like it to be right now. I've noticed too many mistakes in packaging and quality. We got to be careful. You know, I'm serious. I'm glad we're talking about this. I have to go to the supermarket.
This coming weekend is going to be the beginning of a very busy time. I've gotten my charcoal together, in gathering all the meats for the horn in, and the acorn is going to be going nonstop.
That sounds good.
And I'm thinking of using some of my alder chips. Well, I'm not thinking. I'm going to use some of my alder chips from Roger to smoke a salmon plank.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know, that's funny you brought that up, because I had a nice piece of salmon grilled the other day, and I think that's my favorite way of the salmon is really good grilled. It really is.
Well, no, I'm completely sold on the method that Brother Deacon Asa taught me.
You mean on the plank?
No.
Plank?
Where you season the salmon and you make a paste of kosher salt and egg white, and you completely mummify the salmon, you know, the whole fillet. That's what I mean by a plank, a whole fillet.
Oh, I've never.
And you let it sit for a few hours, and then you rinse it off. And then you smoke it over as low a fire as you can have. And I'm not even that big of a fan of salmon, and I will eat me some salmon that way.
That sounds good.
Hey, I've got somebody on the stress line. Let's bring them into the conversation, too, since we're into the last half hour of the conversation. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin. Hey, Todd. It's Tamara.
Hey, Tamara. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry I called so late.
Well, it's okay. You didn't.
I would love to come to the Hornin. I still have fantasies about driving across the country from San Diego. I've done it a few times, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, we'd love to have you, but I certainly understand. It's... I think I'm hoping we're going to have good weather and a darn good time.
Are you going to be able to go, Todd?
I will not be able to attend, but I will be there.
Yeah, me too.
And there will be food porn photos.
Excellent. I haven't been able, I don't know, I guess since Mega did their thing or whatever, I haven't been able to access the Instagram photos, but I get like teeny tiny photos on Twitter, so sometimes I see those.
Oh, huh. I mean, well, I'm still putting stuff up at Instagram.
Well, you know, I used to be able to see your photos. They're your beautiful transition photos, for example.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course. It's been so wonderful to be on this journey with you. And I feel like Robin, I feel like you and Annette, and like, I feel like we have all this stuff in common because like Annette came out with her real name, like sort of the same time I was and the same time you were coming out. And I don't know, I just feel a certain kind of kinship with you all.
That's nice.
Well, it's nice that you've been here, especially through all this lockdown and everything, and to hear you and Todd talk about barbecue, and you know, to hear my neighbor Scott call in, who I've only met once, who lives down the street.
Y'all have to work on that.
I know. It's true.
That's crazy. Are you serious? Scott lives
at Yeah, he does.
Wow.
He does. He's on the same bus route. Like, we are one zip code away, but, like, I could walk there.
Well, when I went, I didn't know what it was. I had two choices, Chula Vista and then Ocean Beach. So I went to Ocean Beach, and I didn't really know what I was getting into, but I made the best. It was okay.
Ocean Beach is a trip, right?
It's a trip. But it turned out to be, I was there for 8 days. Imagine. I got to know the
local. And were you
the homeless? Hmm?
Oh yeah. So how long ago was that, Todd?
Oh, that was just after the turn of the century, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I have to look at my diary.
Ocean Beach hasn't changed that much, to be honest. It's kind of stuck in the 60s, as you noticed.
Yes.
That's not a terrible thing.
The Woody were out there. The Woody, you know, the Woody car show? It was just wrapping up when I got there.
So, oh, the Woody car show. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, part of the reason I called Robin is I wanted to talk about San Diego because it gets this, you know, it's Southern California and it gets this kind of liberal, you know, reputation. But I was thinking, I literally had to count how many mass shootings there have been since I've lived here. And I've gotten up to 8. And, you know, like, I was thinking, you know, there's, you know, so, like, some of the news is made, you know, national news. That's why we call it Klan T. But the East County especially is really bad. So there were two high school shootings. There was, like, the I Don't Like Monday shooting. There was a shooting at San Diego State where my dad worked and where I taught and where I went to school. There was the San Ysidro massacre where the guy went hunting humans. And then there was the Poway massacre. I mean, like, this is like, I've been kind of, you know, kind of going through my own shock about how long this has been going on since 1979.
Well, you know, for a long time, you know, we talk about Orange County, of course, and we talk about the far, mm-hmm. far north of California, but, you know, the San Diego area was kind of a Republican bastion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, and it's not just Republican, it's that weird cross section that I've talked about before with the kind of crunchy new age mamas that are anti-vaxxers.
Yeah. The crystal.
QAnon gun nuts.
Yeah, crystal wearers in MAGA hats.
Yeah, yeah, like the vegan, I don't know, natural medicine freaks and the conspiracy theorist,
Wait, natural vegan natural medicine freaks. Do you have any idea what you just did to my email inbox in about 5 minutes?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, you know, I used to be a vegan, so I feel like I can speak from experience.
Wait,
I think
is ex-vegan a thing?
Oh, well, speaking of hate mail, that's who gets the most hate mail. Is, you know, like, you betrayed the club, kind of.
Oh, my God.
You know, I think I explained it one time when I was sort of suffering, and I don't remember like at what point in the Horn family congregation that this was, but you know, I was just like, we're just trying to suck less, and you know, I had to work through the whole eating animals thing, but you know, people are fanatics. We're animals too, you know. I had to kind of come to terms with that and work through my whole sort of, you know, Buddhist philosophy things. And I know other people in the Horn are working through all that stuff too.
Yeah.
So. Mm.
What about squid and you know, what, cephalopods?
Well, there are all these debates,
but they're smart, huh?
Yeah, they really are. And octopuses,
yeah, I've not. I mean, I used to eat octopus once in a while, but then I saw that documentary from a couple of years ago. Maybe you saw it, My Octopus Teacher.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Oh my God,
they're super smart.
Oh, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember Annette and I watched it together, and she was, oh my God, she was furious at the end of it. No spoilers, but she was pissed.
Yeah, I have a friend who had a pet chicken, and his marriage broke up over it because his wife didn't accept the chicken. But that's a whole other story.
Oh, you know, there's a reason we don't have livestock around here.
They would
become Ellie Mae's pets.
That's right. And that's Ellie Mae, an animal charmer. Well, that's another thing that I think I wrote to you over the years, too, because I could never get close to animals because, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but there was a lot of violence in my family, and my father killed one of my dogs, and so I just couldn't get close to animals for a long time. And then finally, you know, I was able to sort of make friends with these stray cats, and that's like, you know, part of the whole journey through like the vegan thing or whatever. But you were going to say something, Robin, and I just jumped in.
Oh, no, you're fine. I just wanted to let you know that Jude wrote in and said, Tamara, it's affirming hearing your voice. Thank you for calling in, as well as you and Todd. Well, thank you, Jude. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hey, Jude.
And your neighbor, Scott, says, hi, neighbor. She's right about San Diego.
Oh, hey, Scott.
She's right about San Diego's crop of mass shootings. It's a sign, folks. If you can't remember all the shootings in your own area, there's been too many goddamn shootings.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really upset me that I had forgotten. And when I forgot the Family Fitness shooting, when I was teaching at San Diego State, where one of the shootings took place later, there was a student in my class who was writing these really violent, kind of revenge fantasies, and it was the same semester that there was another student, kind of like, where was that? I'm just sort of blanking on the creative writing student, but at one of the colleges, and I can see everything perfectly in my head, including his teacher and his face, but there was a student who was writing these violent stories, and he went up and shot a Family Fitness. That was also in East County, San Diego, by what we call Clan P. So that's another one.
Well, that's terrible. What?
Yeah.
How does that community cope with these things?
You know, I think there's that forgetting that happens because, you know, even as I was trying to call up the details, I was finding that they were merging together and the dates were merging together. I've coped with it by writing about it, and I know Robin does some of that too. And by the way, I enjoyed Helene Fisher on the other day.
Wasn't
too.
She just but amazing?
That was nice. So that's how I personally cope with it. But as a collective, I don't think we're doing a good job.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think we'll get some to it. See, I'm back to Russia because, you know, we're relaxing. Just open carry, no training, no license. Just carry a gun and get to fight and take it to court. That's what we're moving toward.
Right. Well, the thing that worries me the most is we can't let the narrative get taken from us. And we need to make sure that young people get the true stories. And so that's part of what I'm working on. And part of the other part is just, I'm wondering if maybe we have to, show up and shout down all the lies, kind of like Beto was doing today.
He damn sure set an example, didn't he?
That was very impressive. So, I don't know. I plan to be out in the streets again. I took it a little bit easy over the lockdown and stuff like that. I just felt like I couldn't afford to get sick. And I know a lot of people were out there, and I'm probably tired. So it's probably time for me to start picking it up again. I know Jude's been out there a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm sure other people in the Horn family, too.
Well, if one is in a more densely populated area, it becomes a little bit simpler to participate.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And we have some really fun demonstrations. We have, like, the cyclists and the skateboarders come out. And, it's like sometimes people have dance parties and we have skateboard parties. So that's always fun.
Skateboard parties sound great.
Yeah.
So what were you teaching at San Diego State? I'm just curious.
I was teaching creative writing there. I've taught, it's kind of weird that they put poets. I studied poetry, and so it's weird that they put poets in these critical thinking classes. So the last class I taught, the last school I taught, I was teaching critical thinking for 10 years, and that was really good until it wasn't. So now I'm kind of, trying to get back into teaching poetry again. I did, it's an artist in residency program. It's called California Poets in the Schools. And I think one of the poet laureates did that, Juan Felipe Herrera. Maybe it's the California poet laureate. I can't remember now. But I got to work with him a little bit. So that's always really fun.
Hmm. Well,
but yeah, the student who is writing. I'm sorry, Todd. What?
No, I'm sorry. That was my id. I was thinking about that food that Robin's going to be cooking. But I'm listening to you. But I'm thinking about all that food.
No, let's talk about food. Let's end on food for him. So, what are you cooking up, Robin?
I'm going to do the trifold pork loin.
Mm. Great.
And I'm doing
the salmon. That's right, you were talking
pork
about
shoulders. The salmon,
pork shoulders and salmon
brisket. If I can get my hands on one, it is proving difficult.
You still haven't gotten your hands on it, huh?
Yeah, it's ordered, but if it comes in, open question. If it's not going to be that, it may be like a whole top sirloin, and so that we can do it. Well done and rare, and slice it thin with some homemade horseradish and caper sauce. I'm doing the hot slaw. I think I'm going to do some fried catfish probably.
That sounds great.
I mean, I'm going to be baking biscuits like a wild woman.
Fantastic. I'm thinking about getting a hold of Sandra in LA and saying, just drive across country with me and bringing her out, because I would like to see everybody together.
Oh, I think that would be fantastic.
So Sandra, if you're listening and you want to drive across country, I'm a good cross country person. I've done it like 6 or 7 times. So.
God, you'd probably get an entire volume of poetry written out of it.
It's funny because my friend Dan, we did the Lollapalooza tour together in the spoken word tent, and we drove across the country, and we had dueling stories about it, where we would read at the same poetry reading, and he would have his account and I would have my account, and they were completely different. And so I have done that, yeah.
That would be magic.
It was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. And you, are you thinking still about self-publishing, Robin?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I was hoping to have the book ready for the Hornin, and everybody who attends will eventually get a copy. But self-publishing is more of a challenge than I thought. But I've got, you know, I printed out hard copies of all the poems and a couple of the essays. And like Helene Fisher was talking about the other night, the question of ordering is, and I don't mean ordering books, I mean putting them in order. You know,
yeah.
do you do like little micro segments, or, you know, because I've got a lot of poems about coal and activism. I've got poems about my transition.
Mm.
I've got my God, I Love Nature poems.
That sounds like a fantastic collection.
Well, it's been a long time in the works, and it's still ongoing. Because, you know, you don't stop. One ignores the muse at one's peril. It's weird to be such a rational person, and at the same time, I absolutely believe in the muse.
Oh yeah, me too. Because when you get going in that flow, and you know, sports people feel it and stuff too. It feels like something's coming through you.
The zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. That is going to happen. That is, and you know, for years people said, oh, you know, well, it used to be Bob, you need to write a book. Now it's Robin, you need to write a book. And I just don't have it in me to cheat. I remember a long time back when Pineapple Boy had a New York Times bestseller called "See, I Told You I Was Right." And all it was transcriptions of the things that he would vomit into a microphone every day.
Right, right. Yeah, well, it takes a lot, and it's not like you're not doing a lot already. Like running for office, and that was pretty impressive, too, by the way.
Yeah, it's like how, well, I was talking to my therapist the other day, and she said, I think you're spreading yourself a little thin, and I said, thin? I'm transparent. Ha! See what I did there?
That's the second therapy joke this week, and they're both pretty good.
Oh, I'm both proud and ashamed of last night's pun.
That was funny. That was funny. In fact, can I repeat that?
Oh,
to,
please. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know,
what, Robin?
Yeah. What, Todd?
If this right now, let's say 1893, you would have a salon. That's
kind of a salon, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what? get me one of those god awful late 18th century gonna have my head chopped off next week wigs, and we can have a salon.
Someone mailed me a tiara the other day. It was the most awesome thing, so I could bring my tiara.
Absolutely.
You know, you're entertaining folks in the parlor, and you've got the radio show going, and you run in politics, and it's like people stop in and they leave, they, you know, come by and chit chat, and it's like you got your pulse on the greater community. I mean, that's what the fuck you got, man. That's a goddamn salon.
Well, I think, and I think it's problematic because the only people at the salon were the people who could afford to be at the salon. But by the same token, there was some, and you know, it translates into the 20th century. I mean, the accounts of the Algonquin Round Table,
right?
Dorothy Parker and that crowd.
Mm-hmm. I think the front porch is a fair substitute, frankly.
I think so too, and it would be it would be great with more and more diverse voices in it.
Well, yeah.
I mentioned the Algonquin Roundtable. One of my, well, it is my favorite, my absolute favorite Dorothy Parker quote. Long ago, the restaurant no longer has it. It no longer exists. But my friends, the proprietors, had, and it was a cross-stitched sampler, okay? And it had a martini glass and a little cross-stitched olive in the little cross-stitched martini. And it said, "I love to drink martinis. Two at the very most. Three, and I'm under the table. Four, and I'm under the host."
Yes! I love Dorothy Parker.
Oh, God, yeah. Her review of Winnie the Pooh. I want to do it justice. I mean, I can I can paraphrase, but it's not nearly as good. Let's see, Dorothy Parker. God, I knew this English major would come in handy one of these days.
Well, she's looking for that. Todd, what was your major? You've talked about, you're a sociologist. I can't remember.
Psychology and sociology.
Yeah, that's right. See, we got all kinds of interesting folks here.
Okay, it was in the New Yorker, of course. And it was Dorothy Parker reads The House at Pooh Corner. And
wait, did you say The House at Pooh Corner?
Yeah, oh yeah, The House at Pooh Corner, A.A. Milne. And she said, "It made me want to fwo up." I'm trying to find the exact quote. Because it was brutal.
Yeah, she had that wit, man.
Good God. That Pooh Corner.
And there's, I mean, God, you can just giggle all day reading.
What was the little guy's name? Little, I think he was a pig.
Oh, that's Piglet. I started out the program with a hissy that the Cincinnati Police Cop Union is having over a piece of art in the Cincinnati Museum that shows Piglet dressed as a cop having just blown away Winnie the Pooh with his hands handcuffed behind his back, and of course he's brown, and he's laying there in a pool of blood. And I think it's Rabbit that's standing off stage right with a sign that says "Off the Pig."
Oh, wow! I have to look that up.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't do that. But I mean, I'm just saying, you know, law enforcement, they feel beset upon. I don't, you know, it's like they don't understand sometimes. We don't need you 100%. Like, you don't have to beat people's heads in, but it doesn't mean go on, you know, blue flu. You know?
Yeah. But in the last couple of days, just how completely, just what a terrible job they did letting kids take the bullets because they were too scared to go in, was just awful.
Is that what the story is?
Yeah. They put out the story that the guy was wearing armor and they couldn't get him, but he wasn't. They just locked him in with the kids for an hour.
Jesus.
And they rescued their own kids first.
You know, I had no idea. I was like doing what I needed to do yesterday during when this happened. And now that I know, everything started going a little weird. I'm serious. The energy was, people were acting, it was just, energy was off.
Oh, no, they're acting really weird.
This, something's going on. People who are on the edge or have maybe some predisposition to be a little, you know, maybe not normal. The way people drive.
No, people have been no, that's exactly what I was going to say, Todd. I got cut off on the freeway going to the co-op in OB where we were just talking about, and I had to avoid endangering the cyclist. I had to make a U-turn into the Marine Corps parking lot base thing. And I know somebody who no, they don't like it at all. And so they check your ID and everything. And I actually know somebody who got deported because that happened to him. Because you can't turn around and you have to go through. And he didn't have the right ID and they sent him back to Mexico.
Jesus.
So, I mean, and I was yelling at this woman because I think it was just everyone was weird and she just accelerated to the red light and I couldn't make the right that I needed to make. And so I was yelling. So I had my instant reaction and I was yelling, you know, nice that I used my blinker. Thanks a lot. You know, and then this cyclist pulls up next to me. And so I'm not going to involve him. And so I had to go into this Marine Corps base.
Oh, Jesus.
But she was ashamed. She knew. She just knew that she was behaving irrationally. And so she was just looking straight ahead, you know, like, I messed up. I'm not looking at you.
You messed up. That's the vortex.
Yeah.
You can try to turn around, you're going the wrong way. You got to get funneled through once you make that turn, probably.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the guy was nice, but my window doesn't roll down. It's broken, so I had to explain it to him carefully, you know.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one who just, you know, screams inside the car. It, generally, it's along the lines of, where'd you get your driver's license? In the gumball machine at Dollar General?
Yeah.
Hey, I need to send out some thank yous, a couple of thank yous. Thank you, Todd.
Okay.
Todd, you just took us down to 10:55. And Kat in Ohio, thank you, Kat. Kat just took us down to 9:55. So that's amazing.
We're getting there.
And we've got, we're within striking distance of finishing May okay. I don't know. I think Vegas still wouldn't bet that way. But we've got it. We've got a fighting chance.
We got 2 minutes, so if anybody can pony up a little bit.
And Jude wants you to know that she'd love to see you on the front porch.
Oh, I would love to meet you.
She had a lovely time on the back porch last Friday when I wasn't here. although Scott in San Diego, your neighbor, warns that some days the front porch is more Three Stooges pie fight than it is salon, and that's true too. As far as people on edge are concerned, Matt in San Francisco says, I saw a woman get out of her car and throw a glass bottle at a cyclist right at the Rainbow Crosswalks on Castro Street yesterday. There's definitely something afoot. And, you know, Annette,
not right.
You know, when we're out and about, Annette has been noting, and our daughter noted yesterday, people just aren't driving okay these days. And Annette's theory is that, you know, 2.5 years of COVID brain have seriously impeded people's ability to operate a motor vehicle.
No, I think that's true. And I'm laughing because a friend of mine said that, you know, she like me has been mostly alone for the last couple of years. And she went to a wedding for the first time and she said her social skills just weren't what they, she said she just apropos of nothing blurted out something completely irrelevant and thought about it for a few days. You know, people are struggling.
Squirrel. Oh. Yeah, exactly.
It was so nice talking with you. I was going to say you guys, but if I say, I don't know, I don't want to step on anybody's.
Well, you know, I'm from California, so I say dude a lot. Sorry, Robin.
Oh, no, I do not object to dude. I mean, it depends. It depends on where you are. You know, you're in the upper Midwest. You get you guys. You know, I mean, we're talking about a room full of cis women. Will you guys each other? So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then.
But anyway, you were saying, Todd.
Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
No, I was just going to say I just really enjoyed the conversation, and I'll be listening. And thank you very much. And I hope everyone has a great day tonight, or the rest of the day, and a great day, you know, tomorrow.
It was good talking to you, Todd.
Oh, Tamara, I'm so tickled you called in. I enjoy our all too infrequent conversations. Emphasis on the all too infrequent part.
I know. I'll call in again, I promise.
Well, y'all both have a lovely evening. I'm gonna shut
you
this
too.
Thing down and upload it so the podcast community can listen. And
okay, bye everybody.
Bye, Tamara. You have a great evening or afternoon. It's still
okay,
it's still
too.
Broad daylight for you there. I kind of wish I was
it
doing
is.
It. Yeah, maybe I should move to California and just do this program from 2 to 5.
And you
then,
would like it.
And then I'd have
you would like
then,
it. You would love our neighborhood that where Scott and I live, Robin. It's where the parade is, and we have it in July because we have May Gray and June Gloom. Yeah, yeah, right by Normal Street where the big flag is.
Well, that's like there's the new sequel to Bosch is out, and I love that show because I feel like I'm distance learning about Los Angeles.
Oh,
because the locations are just so freaking awesome.
Right. Is that the one that you and Tracy were talking about, or is that a different one?
Yeah, no, that's that one.
Okay.
And in fact, I told Tracy, I messaged Tracy last night because we were watching it. And so Basha's daughter, Maddie, is a rookie street cop. And they went for donuts and coffee or something at a basically landmark coffee place. It's bubblegum pink, and it's called Trejo's. And I was paying attention to the dialogue, and I went, "Oh my God, Tracy!" Because you'd have if we did video here, you'd see my thumbs moving on my imaginary telephone because I was texting. I said, "Oh my God, Tracy! Maddie's training officer is a graduate of CSUN." So Cal State Northridge actually got a shout out on the Bosch sequel. And
awesome.
And she said, "How did I miss that?" Well, but my entirely too large pink ears perked up, so that was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, it's always cool. Well, my ears perk up every time I hear some of the West Virginia references now, so that's cool too.
Yeah, it's especially nice when it's not a negative one.
That's true too, but I know, like you've talked about all the beautiful places, so I pay more attention to that now.
Oh, I saw a video on Instagram today from somebody I know who got. We've got a little, and maybe people will want to do this when they get here. It's a little pricey, but you can get in a 1943 Boeing Stearman biplane and fly over the gorge.
Wow.
And if you're really brave, he will do things like Immelmann's and stalls over the gorge. But somebody went, I think they were in a Piper Cub, though, the same little crappy plane that's featured in one of the early scenes of that execrable movie, The Battle of the Bulge, which was saved only by Henry Fonda and Robert Shaw. Cake, mm-hmm. cake, Manfred. They are sending cake across the Atlantic via fuck. I think she shot it in a Piper Cub, and just a few hundred feet above the gorge, and it's all just green, and the sky is this perfect blue, and you see that gorgeous engineering marvel that is the rust, and it's not rusted. It's actually they designed a kind of steel to do this way, so they wouldn't have to paint it. But this gorgeous rust-red single-arch bridge spanning from mountaintop to mountaintop across 300 million years of New River Gorge. And I just went, Yeah, but it's gorgeous here right now. And the blackberries are in bloom. A little bit ago, and the rhododendrons are coming in.
Maybe I'll have to look at Greyhound tickets or something. I don't know.
Go Greyhound and leave the driving to them. Anyway, y'all have a great evening. This has been so much fun. A great way to end. When we deal with these issues that are so heartbreakingly heavy, when we can just sort of and let go a little bit. I think it's just so helpful.
Yeah, we need the community. Well, I already said goodbye. I'll let you pod up and sign off.
All right. Take care, Tamara.
Take care, Robin. Bye, you guys.
See you, Todd. See you. Bye. And so we are at the end of the program. You know, that's a significant little miracle we had happen this evening. And I thank you all so very much. Thank you. Thank you to Rico, and thank you to Joey for getting it started. Thank you to everybody who stepped in so boldly and so fully. We got a chance, and so Bill's going to get paid tonight. Yay! And we'll talk again tomorrow. Thorn in the Side Thursday is already on the way. Thanks to each and every one of you, our PayPal and Patreon supporters. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time. Tongue is tired. Sharing in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Brother Bishop Steve in Georgia Stan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Remember, the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women, the folks of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a union shop. Remember, the AIC Act is still on the table. It needs to get to a vote this Congress. Please ask your member of the House to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. I'm not joking when I say it means the future of Appalachia. Stay safe. Hey, guess what I did? I finally scheduled my second booster. Getting it tomorrow. 2 o'clock. I'm going to hydrate as hard as I can, and I'm going to drink a quart of Gatorade and get my second booster. And I got Pfizer before. I'm mixing it up a little bit. I'm going Moderna this time. Oh, dear. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your mask in crowded places. Keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says, and that might buy you a couple of seconds in the grocery store when if any Second Amendment freedom breaks out. Jesus, I hate even talking or thinking that way. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you with a dental drill in his hand and says, "It was a transsexual leftist illegal immigrant what done that," avoid that person like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.